Hello and welcome to this exploring session. This time we're looking at Old Christmas or Good Order. The manuscript is dated to 1533 and was printed by the Rastalls, possibly after staging at John Rastall's own stage in Finsbury Fields, and is therefore fairly contemporary with our work on the plays of John Heywood, if you want to compare. Though featuring Christmas, I'm releasing this today because it's possibly a play for the advent of Lent. The story is about setting aside excess, and in the Tudor court it's not impossible that the excess of Christmas wasn't still going on months after Twelfth Night. That's possibly an exaggeration. This fragment is from the end of the play, where the naughty boys of Riot and Gluttony, having obviously caused some upset to the land, are having their just desserts decided for them. Old Christmas is the putative ruler, and is advised by Good Order on their punishment. It is decided not to lock the two miscreants up, as they would simply infect the prison population with their creed. Instead, they are to be banished. If ever there were an interesting modern parallel, it's here, for those of you listening in 2019, where governments wish to avoid repatriation of criminals, passing the problem on elsewhere. There are five speaking parts that survive: Christmas, Good Order, Riot and Gluttony, and a final closing speech from Prayer to ram home the message that it's Lent now, calm the f*** down. There are honourable and dishonourable mentions to the characters Abstinence, Unthrifty Hazarder, and Perjury. But for now, here is the first stab at getting into the text. This was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare Irregulars on a dull Saturday morning in October. There are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. We recorded this on the same day as another fragmentary play, so there are a few references to Albion Night, which is thematically similar, if in reality very different. That recording will come very soon. We'll be recording a proper version of this anon. Please suggest thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. You can submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page by joining us or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes. The Irregulars were Liz Cole, Alan Scott, Mark Scanlon, and I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton. And this is Old Christmas or Good Order.
Turn over to Old Christmas or Good Order, which is incredibly short. It's only four pages. Printed by William Rastall, who William and his father, John, were the great printers of their day of plays, and we owe them quite a lot. So, Liz, I think you should remain as Old Christmas. Terribly nice, terribly good. Good Order. Who is? I think you should be Good Order.
Good Order, okay.
I think I should be Riot and you should be Gluttony, I think. Prayer is whoever wants to grab that final speech at the end. I think this is towards the end of the play, where things have been tidied up after insurrection. So it's sort of like we've had the first half of a different play, we're now having this the end half of another play, which has similar themes. Old Christmas, off you go.
Sith thee went, have they exercised? Yet was I never thus beguiled.
Sir, there hath been here an unthrifty company. Here was Hazarder, here was Perjury, and crackies and swearing abominably. And as soon as I came, they did me defy. If I had not fled, I had been slain.
But this case to me is more fain, that these rebels be thus take, than a bushel of gold be given for my sake.
Now, good sir, forgive me once now, and I will never more offend.
Nay, do not so, sir, God defend, for I make to God a vow the knave will ne'er amend.
Never amend? Why?
For sith that he was a child young, he hath been ever brought up among riotous and unthrifty company. He cannot leave it if he should die.
Thou liest, whoreson, in thy head. Thou hast used so much gluttony, eating and drinking abominably, thou canst not leave it to leave thy head. And thou, whoreson, broughtest me first to this perplexity. Therefore, sir, I pray you one thing do. If I be hanged, let him be hanged too.
Oh, my marvellous, good sirs, behold that they cannot amend themselves if they would. Ye may see by their own confession. Oh, what it is a man to accustom himself to riot and unthriftiness, or in youth to be brought up in lewdness, for an evil custom much used will be right hard to be refused. For what thing a child in youth doth exercise, lightly in age he loveth the same guise, and that hath made you, sirs, ye your customs old. Ye cannot forsake them, if that ye would. But I promise you, ere I depart hence, you shall be corrected for your offence. Therefore, good order, show thy best reason, what for them convenience reason.
Just popping in to editorialise here, there's a slight break in the text here. It's not quite clear on the recording, and we just fill in the gaps as to what in theory happens there.
Neither
so you've given the missing line is obviously there are good reasons why you shouldn't kill them. Here they are.
Wherefore I would not have them to die, neither to prison perpetually, within this your realm, for ye know well, yet might they give unhappy counsel to such manner people as will come, them to visit while they were in prison. Therefore my mind, if you understand, is for to banish them out of your land, on this pain that if they come again, without ransom or grace, to be slain.
Well, good order, with all my heart I thank thee. Now, after thy counsel, so shall it be. Proclaim their banishment openly, for them and all their other company. Let's see how well you can fit order it. The order thereof to thee I commit.
Well, then, sirs, take heed to your judgment. My master Christmas, as here present, proclaimeth you traitors openly, that is to say, riot and gluttony, unthrifty hazarder and perjury, commanding you shortly, everyone, in all haste to void this region. And whosoever returneth again without any grace, he shall be slain. This is my master's commandment, doubtless, and Jesu preserve his noble highness.
Yet, Master Christmas, one drop of your grace.
No more words. Get ye hence in haste, for your judgment is given and part.
Alas, gluttony, what shall we then do?
In faith to the new-found land let us go, for in England there is no remedy.
And, sirs, look ye be gone shortly. Hold, take each of you a cross in his hand. In token you shall be banished England, and to some haven town get you anon, and at the next passage look ye be gone.
Oh, sir, ye give us some spending money.
Not so, if you lack, then beg by the way.
Now, sirs, all good fellows, farewell.
And I bequeath you to the devil of hell.
Good order. This thing is well ordered. Thou art, whatever it is, innately to be commended. One, if thou feed thyself too greedily, another to eat or drink beyond measure, and if thou despoil thy meat inordinately, or if thou thy apparel, thy meat too curiously, with sauce, and if thou delight thyself in dainties, all these of gluttony to be very branches. Jesu, God's Son, the great Master of Truth, from the high throne when he descended for our redemption, and walked on earth, 40 days and 40 nights, no doubt he fasted, neither meat nor drink, that while he tasted. This example proveth this sentence true, that abstinence is a wonderful virtue.
I do like this, you know, it's this thing about gluttony. If thou apparel thy meat too curiously with sauce, avoid, you know, obviously Christmas is a time of excess, but, you know, the rest of the time you should be good and marvellous. Who fancies doing prayer's closing speech to the play? So we've had the summing up from Gold Christmas. Presumably we've lost in that break there the bad things about rioting. So we've got is Old Christmas talking about gluttony there.
Love the bit that if you're guilty of gluttony, you go to the new land.
Yes. Anyway, let's just do the prayer. Who wants to do the prayer?
That is true and spoken marvellous well. But yet, sovereigns all, I pray you take heed to me prayer and to my good counsel. For he that is that with me is usually acquainted with God is conversant. This is undoubted. For of prayer, vera definitio, et nisi in Deum mentis elevatio. So prayer is but the elevation of man's inward minds to God on high, and to remember by way of contemplation his great goodness, nobleness, and power mighty, and the vanities and vices which we use daily, and his great mercy therefore to require. This is the true prayer that God doth desire. For that which men call the vocal prayer, as the uttering of words, though it be regarded much before God, yet everywhere, to this intent and purpose it is used, to cause men's inward minds to be moved, to celestial things, that his mind and thought from worldly vanities thereby may be brought. And thou, man, which to contemplation hath brought thy mind by such prayer vocal, and to God fixed it by such meditation, when thou art thou come to the thing principal, as the mental prayer of which thing above all is chiefly desired of God alway, and this wise good people, this let time should pray. And all ye sirs that now will take regard to this expectation, know ye shall in the celeste.
And we lose everything. This is just the first stage with this. I haven't done anything more with this. I've only vaguely done a gloss on it. I like that. That one actually I thought was a bit insipid, but actually I quite like that one. I think riot and gluttony are really nicely over the top, isn't it? Especially as they stab each other in the back.
Well, the thing is, the baddies usually have the better lines anyway. Yeah.
The Beyond Shakespeare podcast is supported by its patrons. Become a patron and you get to choose the plays we work on next. Go to www.patreon.com/beyondshakespeare.